So, Mona, I heard that you used to work at a prison teaching English.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like there? What did you do? What was your daily schedule?
Well, at the time, I was living in San Francisco, and I was working for Airbnb at the headquarters. And I was pretty depressed because Airbnb was like a very big company and very... it was kind of sad in San Francisco because it was part of all the tech companies that were making so much money and making inequalities bigger in the city. But I had to work there to save to go to grad school. And then I discovered, I knew about this program at San Quentin Prison because one of my teachers in undergrad who was doing her PhD at Berkeley was a volunteer in this program. It's called a prison university program, PUP.
Did you get paid to do it?
No. So it's all volunteer based and it's existed since the 90s. And so all the volunteers are like PhD students and teachers from Berkeley, Stanford, all the schools that are around the Bay Area. And so this one teacher I had, she was a critical theory teacher. She was very cool. And she mentioned that she worked for this program. So I'd had it in the back of my head that it sounded like a really interesting experience. And then when I was at Airbnb, we had this thing where we could get paid 1 hour a week for community service, but no one would really do it.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, and ultimately the thing at San Quentin took me more like 6 hours a week, but I was like, oh, that's a good excuse to like leave early 1 day a week and get paid, even though it's just 1 hour, and then just do this thing because otherwise my life was really depressing. So I asked that teacher and got in contact with that program, and it was perfect timing because they like recruit new volunteers every semester. And so because I didn't go to grad school yet, but I had been an English tutor for all of my undergrad, I became a teaching assistant for the English teacher.
Uh-huh.
So they taught all kinds of classes like science, all kinds of college classes, science, philosophy, history, Spanish. And then the students, if they didn't have like the level to go to college, or sometimes there are people that had gone to college like 30 years earlier, and so they weren't really at the right level anymore. So they had to take 2 English classes to qualify to begin the college level classes. So I was an assistant twice for these kinds of English classes.
Yeah, it's very interesting because you were born in France and you lived there until you were like 19 when you moved to Canada. And so when you were there, was there any like special moments or any incidents that happened while you were working there?
Well, one very funny thing that happened is that, first of all, I don't think I was legally allowed to do this because even though it was volunteer work, it was still, if you're doing volunteer work that could get paid as a foreigner, it's not your actual employer, it's kind of illegal, but I still did it. And the second thing that was a funny coincidence is that you have to sign all kinds of papers before you begin something like this. You know, they have to scan all your IDs, and I had to sign a paper that said that I didn't know anyone inside San Quentin, which, you know, I had moved to San Francisco 3 years before. I had no reason to know someone inside San Quentin. But it turned out that my landlord was there. Huh. And because actually when I moved into my place in the Mission, which is one of the, it's a Latino neighborhood in San Francisco that used to have a lot of gangs, and now not so much anymore. But the part where I lived still had a few families left that hadn't gotten evicted yet, you know, because it became so expensive. And so my landlord was my age. He was like 24 and he inherited his apartment from his grandma and he was renting it to me and my friends. And he was really funny, like a little bit, like we knew that he had gone to jail, but it wasn't at San Quentin. And then we received a letter from San Quentin saying like, oh no, he's there, you know, because that was still his official address. So I also had to lie when I signed the paper saying I didn't know anyone at San Quentin. And I fortunately never ran into him on the yard, because it could have been an issue also for him if he suddenly recognized me and showed it, you know, if he looked like we, either of us could have gotten in trouble.
Yeah. And how long did you end up working there?
For like 2 semesters.
Okay. So around like a year. Okay. Yeah. And what made you stop working there? Did you move away or what?
Yeah, I was moving to LA to go to grad school. And I would have really liked to continue going. Another thing that was interesting was the French, is that there was one student, I forget his name, who was Chinese, who had been in San Quentin for a really long time, and he was extremely smart. He taught himself Russian and French and maybe other languages just from scratch, given that at those libraries they have in prison, you have very limited resources. For example, I think he had one book he could read in French, or like one newspaper, you know, that he would read over and over and over because he didn't have options. And so he wasn't in my class, but we would walk from the entrance all the way to the classrooms and cross the yard on our way. And so he was allowed to talk to me the whole time we were crossing the yard so he could practice his French. So it was like maybe 5 minutes he could talk mm-hmm. to me and then back. And it was his first time ever speaking to a French-speaking person. And he was completely fluent. But, wow. You know, he learned by himself. And he was the same in Russian.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. And it was crazy to think that, you know, just those 5 minutes for him were like super crazy that he got to speak French to a French person, uh-huh. you know, because usually he never got to practice.
Yeah. Well, thank you for letting me interview about this. It was very interesting.
That was already...
Yeah.
That was already it.